praising God for the risen Savior. And I'm telling you, I'm here as a witness. He is risen, okay? Because He has turned my life around. I don't know about you, but I know where I was. And He has turned my life around, and He continues to be good to me and teach me and show me great and mighty things. So let's open in prayer. Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord God, as we celebrate Resurrection Day all over the earth, Lord God. We just want to say we thank You, Lord God, because You did turn it around. Oh God, You turned around. We were on our way to a devil's hell, and You turned it around, Lord God. So now that we will spend eternity with You, Lord God, so we just want to say thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank You enough, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just praise You. We worship You. We magnify Your name. And we pray, Lord, if we can impose upon You once again, Holy Spirit, send Your Holy Spirit to come and be with us and teach us, Lord God, and dwell with us, Holy Spirit. You make all the difference. So we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. So we're just excited. We're in session 2. If you don't have a lesson, there's a few I put on the table there. Session 2 on real accountability. We started last week, and we've just come out of honest evaluation, and now we're into real accountability. And our key scripture comes from Proverbs 27 and 6. And it is, faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful because they serve his hidden agenda. Folks, you got to be careful out there, okay? Because everybody's not your friend, okay? I tell you, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the ones that will tell you the truth. And the truth is always Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week, how the truth will always point Jesus to Christ. And we talked about David's prayer, how David prayed for God to set a guard over his mouth. And he prayed, Lord God, let the righteous strike me and correct me. He asked for it. Lord, let the righteous strike me. Now, some of us, we won't pray that prayer, but I'm telling you, let the righteous strike me and correct me, you know, so I will be in line with God. We talked about how we need each other. We got to watch each other's backs, because when you're out there by yourself, the enemy will pick you off. Just watch how the lion hunts. And he waits for that little zebra that's off by itself, okay? When the zebras are all together, they look like one giant animal. That's how their stripes work, you know. But when one comes off from the pack, that's when the enemy attacks. And we're going to talk about some of the tactics of the enemy and taking people out. Because we need to understand how the enemy takes people out, you know, so we can know how to counterattack him, you know, and how to get around those things. So again, we're just going to continue on with session 2, and we went through the first few pages, and now we're on the one that says weight room. We're going to show a little clip from the movie on the weight room. Okay, so that's the way we do sometimes. We come to church and we do all our church stuff, but our lives, there's so much stuff going on in our lives that we don't deal with. And sometimes we know of somebody else that's going through stuff, and we don't say anything. We just kind of stand back. Sometimes we're chatting about it or gossiping about it as it is, but we don't do anything about it. So we just want to, again, it's time we're getting it real. We're going to keep it real. We're going to get really down to where we live as Christians when it comes to this real accountability chapter. So in your handout, you're going to see two sections. The first section we're going to talk about is Michael's shoes. Michael was the brother that was talking to the other brother about his marriage, you know, and was confronting him, if you will, you know, about his marriage. So what is it to be in Michael's shoes? Have you been in Michael's shoes before, says your handout? How easy or how hard was it to speak the truth in love? You know, I think we've all been there at some point where you heard something in somebody's life and it didn't quite set right with your spirit. I mean, your spirit. It wasn't even your emotion. It was your spirit that was like, whoa, uh-oh. You know, and that's what you saw there. You know, how hard or how easy is it to speak the truth in love? What are some of the hindrances to speaking challenging words to someone you care about? You know each other, you're friends, but there are still some hindrances to keeping us from speaking the truth in love. So let's talk about some of those things. Number one, your own feelings. Your own feelings. Your anger, your resentment, and even your human love comes into play here. Before you can speak on behalf of Christ, you must submit your emotions to the Holy Spirit. Because your emotions can be all over the place when you hear something about somebody. When you need to minister, it's a close friend, it's a relative, it's a family member, a close family member, and you've heard something. The first thing you've got to do is go in prayer and submit those emotions to the Holy Spirit, because it can blow up in your face if you don't do that. So you wanna pray. As human beings, we instinctually act on our emotions, okay? It's a part of us. You were born emoting, okay? You were born wah, emoting. So it's an instinct, it's in us. You don't even have to give us instructions. We just know how to act on our emotions as human beings. So you have to come to grips with that. I am an emotional being. And so before I could even do anything for Jesus, I got to get my emotions under control. I have to submit my emotions to the Holy Spirit. So to rise, you have to rise above your emotions and into the knowledge of God. That's what you have to do. And the thing about you that you need to know too is that God made you so that you can do it. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you certainly can do it. So you have to rise above your emotions and take in knowledge. You have to take in discipline, and you have to take in maturity. You know, those three things, you have to get those going. And none of these things, we were born with none of this. You were not born with knowledge. You came into this world knowing nothing. You were not, you don't have any discipline. I mean, have you ever seen a disciplined baby? I've never seen a disciplined baby. They put everything in their mouth. Everything goes in the mouth, no discipline, and they certainly don't have maturity. Wah, this isn't right. Wah, that isn't right. Wah, wait. Wah, I don't want to wait. So we're not born with any of these things. So we have to get our emotions to rise to these places. We come into this world acting on our emotions, on how we feel. But we have to remember, in your lesson it says, remember the fruit of the Spirit, mainly love. Boy, if you can just get love down, all the others will fall into place. If you could just get love down. Love is a difficult concept to grasp for those who have been born selfish, and that includes all of us. You know, again, back to the infants. Infants are some of the most selfish creatures on the planet. Do you know that? Babies are selfish. All they care about is themselves. Thank God. See, that's why God made them all cute and cuddly. You know, so we'll love them and take care of them, and they're so soft and cute because they are some selfish little creatures. You know, all they want is what I want and what I want. And that's how all of us came into the world. We came into the world selfish. So to love somebody, past yourself, it's going to take some overcoming. We have to work at that. But if we will allow the Savior, our Lord, He will teach us love. I have realized, as the older I get, I realize I don't know how to love people. I think I do, but I don't know how to love people. You know how people, you know, God will tell you, you heard people say, Jesus says, I love your children more than I love you, more than you love them. And I'm like, oh no, Jesus, you couldn't possibly love them more. Maybe the same as, but not more. But I find that He loves them more. Because I get in there sometimes. My flesh gets in there when I'm operating, even interacting with my family that I love so much. But with Jesus, oh man, it's just pure love. Whatever He allows, whatever is going on, it is out of pure love. There's none of the selfish piece in there. So we have to get over ourselves, folks, if we are going to help people be accountable. Back in your lesson, it says Christ always ministered in love, even when it was a strong and difficult word. So note His rebuke to Peter in Matthew 16, and I've got some of the scriptures in here, but I just want to set up, you know, Matthew 16, because Jesus is just telling His disciples. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I have to go to Jerusalem, but when I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be condemned, and I'm going to be put to death. And this is the scene where we're walking into in verse 22. And then here it is. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Christ. Far be it from you, Lord! Exclamation point. So he's getting loud with Jesus. And he's saying, far be it from you, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Wow. You are a stumbling block to me, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is a lot there in that scripture. You know, the point in your lesson says, even when it appears as if the friend is protecting you, you must carry out the purpose of God in your life above all else. Accountability can appear in many ways. Although Peter thought he was protecting Jesus, Jesus turned to him and made Peter accountable to the will of God. And that's where we need to be, making people accountable to the will of God. See, sometimes our accountability is based on our emotions, on what we think. Peter was getting emotional here. He cared about Jesus. There's no doubt about it. He cared about Jesus. So he was telling him no. He pulled him aside and says, you are not going. You are not going to Jerusalem. You are not. No. You, far be it from me. You are not going to Jerusalem. And Jesus had to turn around and rebuke him. The one that's trying to protect him, he's rebuking. Because Jesus had to be lined up with the will of God, and he turned the tables on Peter and made Peter accountable to what God has said. See, sometimes you got to go to Jerusalem, and even though you're going to get, and this is going to happen, and this may happen to you, God said, go to Jerusalem. And that's what you've got to understand, that sometimes when it comes to accountability, you have to make people around you accountable to what the will of God is for your life. The next point on your lesson says, even when it appears as if the friend is protecting you, you must carry out. No, that's the first point. I'm reading that point again. But again, it's a good point. When the friend is protecting you, must carry out the purpose of God. So many, we act on our emotions concerning our friends and our loved ones, but true accountability for someone will lead them to the will of God. The next point is fear of losing the relationship. That's another reason why we don't confront people, is that we don't want to lose the friendship. We don't want to lose the connection. You know, maybe it's a business relationship and you don't want to lose it for one reason or another. Some people will not say anything to a friend in trouble, or even worse, they will endorse their sin to keep the friendship. Once again, we turn to Jesus and the truth he spoke to numerous people. Some received his truth while others stopped following him, and one of his own disciples even betrayed him. We see this in John 6. Jesus' focus was always on obedience to his Father. Now, John 6 and verse 66 says, as a result of this, many of his disciples abandoned him and no longer walked with him. As a follower of Christ, is your heart prepared for the same result? Are you prepared to lose friends? Because if you're not prepared to lose friends, you're not prepared to be in a person that they can be accountable to. If you're not prepared to lose them, you know, you got to be prepared to let them go. You got to be prepared to have them reject you. Are you ready to lose friends as you are obedient to Christ? When he has you says things to them that they don't want to hear. The psalmist wrote, you are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. That's Psalm 119 and 114. When you are rejected for obedience to Christ, he will be your hiding place. And folks, that's something. It's something so intimate. And so intimate when everybody turns their back on you, but you know that Jesus is your hiding place. You know, I know people like that. They're the only Christian in their family. And people don't get them. They don't understand, you know, but Jesus remains their hiding place, the place that they can go to. I believe also that sometimes God sets it up that way. He sets it up so that you are alone, so that you will go to him. Because as long as you've got these buddies around you, they mean well. I'm not against friendships and buddies, but there comes a place where God will set you up so that you are all alone. So you have to come to him, because otherwise you would not. So you have to pray, so that you have to go to the hiding place. And he wants to be your hiding place, the place of comfort when you have been abandoned by others. He knows the pain of losing friends and will minister to your heart at those moments. In the hiding place, you will grow in intimacy with your Lord and develop in the ultimate relationship of your life. You understand? I mean, once you get that intimacy with God, you know, the friends take a different place in your life. You still love them, but they just take on a whole different perspective when you have intimacy with Christ. Because you know, if all of you guys leave me, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. I'm going to be happy in the Lord. And this is not just cliche. This is not just something people say. I used to think, oh, this is something people say. We all need friendship. We all need, you know, I'm telling you, you can be all on your own and just feel the joy of Christ in you and be perfectly fine. You know, be perfectly fine. And people say, aren't you lonely? Aren't you? No, I am so happy in the Lord. I mean, the things that we talk about, you know, as this old song says, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's one of my favorite hymns. I love it. I love it because it's true. That was written by somebody that had intimacy with Christ. Amen. Knowing what that is and what that is all about. And if you haven't experienced that, I'm telling you, press in, keep praying, and watch it explode in your life. That intimacy, you'll never go back. It'll be the most ultimate relationship of your life. But you must be prepared to be rejected. You know, Jesus said they would reject you. If they rejected me, they're going to reject you also. He told us that. He gave us a heads up. He told us that already. So you must be prepared to be rejected. Sometimes it happens suddenly, and sometimes it happens gradually and subtly. They just stop inviting you to come. You ever notice you're not invited to the party anymore? You're not invited to go out to dinner? You're not invited to certain things anymore because they're gradually pulling away. Well, I know, you know, she found Jesus. You know, so I know she's not going to want to do what we want to do. So, you know, let's just leave her off this time. We'll see her at work. We'll see her here. We'll see her, you know, we'll see her at grandmama's birthday. We won't invite her. You know, it's all right, folks. It is all right. If it happens, it happens subtly as you live and you speak the word of Christ, you know, because we are a peculiar people. We're different. You know, we confront, we don't let people just drown, you know, as in the video. You know, Michael was not going to let Tony just drown. We don't let that. That doesn't go on in Christendom. You know, in Christendom, honey, we're looking at each other. You can tell me none of my business, but girl, I'm going to be praying. You know, you don't have to tell me what's going on. I just see you're not looking quite right. I'm praying. You know, I'm not going to just let you go down. You know, we don't let people go down without a fight, huh? We're going to fight for them, you know. So we got to learn. This class is about war room, folks. We're fighting for people, you know. So it's not just about fighting for you. It's fighting for others, you know. So accountability means that you're ready to let things go. If relationships go, that's part of the battle, honey. Those are casualties of war. Some of these people are casualties of war. Okay, you won't be my friend anymore. Okay, that's fine. Because I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord now. And I've got things to do that has to do with eternity. I have eternal work to do. I can't be into this temporal stuff that you want me to be a part of. If you can't be my friend, that's fine. Because I'm in the army of the Lord. We don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. That's part of the battle. You know, They hit you one way, you return love, love, love. You got to learn how to love people. Look beyond the fault and see the need. Look beyond the fault and see the need. Oh, that's where you are as a soldier. So again, we have to get over fear of losing relationship and focus on the higher calling that we're called to in this world. We are representatives of the Savior of the world. And that's our new title. And we've got to walk in that. You know, no matter what we lose, no matter who and what drops off, we got to walk as soldiers of the cross. So we talked about your own feelings. We talked about the fear of losing relationships. And thirdly, the fear of standing in God's word. And that's a fearful thing, you know, because all the stuff that's going on in our society today, it's hard to stand in the word of God and, you know, what you live and what you get behind me. But again, we go to Psalm 19, that same verse, Psalm 19, 114. It says, you are my hiding place and my shield. And my shield. I wait for your word. I wait for your word. When you are speaking the truth to someone in the love of Christ, he will also be your shield. Part of the armor of God is the shield of faith. Faith in Christ forges you on to speak even when you do not see results. Faith displaces fear. I'm a witness, folks. You got to believe God even when it's dark and you don't see any way, you don't see any light. If you would just believe, faith forges you through. Faith makes you get up in the morning and face the day. Lord, I don't want to go to that meeting. Oh, God, I know what it's going to be like. And you know Patty's going to be there. You know how Patty is. You're always messing with me. You know, so, oh, God, you know, get up in the faith of the Almighty. Say, Jesus, here we go. Let faith forge your way through. This is a battle. This is a war. Honey, you know, Patty don't know Jesus. You know? But I'm telling you, you take authority. You take authority over that spirit operating in Patty, because my Savior has put her God in his place. I tell you, I was reading some the other day, that Christian in Complete Armor. What a powerful book, if you can get it, by William Grinnell. Oh, my goodness. And he said that Satan is God's lapdog. Satan can only do what God allows him to do. He's God's lapdog. He only lets him do what he allows him to do. And I know you're like, well, God's got a reason. He's got a plan, and he makes all things work together for good. Not some things. He makes everything that happens. He's going to make it work together for your good. So you take authority in faith, and you go into the day. You don't go into the, you know, we don't have to back up to any bullies. I take authority over those bullies in the name of Jesus. Bullies didn't stop in school, honey. Some of those bullies are at the workplace. Some of those bullies are living next door to you. You take authority in the name of Jesus and put the devil in his place. You have to have faith to be obedient to Christ, that he will take care of the rest, and you don't have to fear when you have spoken the truth in love. You don't have to be fearful when you've spoken the truth. There's so many truths in the Word of God that apply to everyday life. In fact, it's so amazing the things I have said scripture to people in meetings. They didn't even know it was scripture. I was just saying it. Well, why don't we, you know, instead of responding like that, why don't we respond to them by doing them a favor? You know, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. That's the way the business world. Well, if they're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Hey, wait a minute. Why don't we do it this way? And respond with a favor. And boy, that thing just turned around like, oh, boy, I'm so glad we did it that way. Yes, because that's true. Truth will prevail every time. If you operate like the devil, oh, I'm telling you, it's going to blow up in your face. And after a while, you got an all-out war going on. But I'm telling you, start speaking the truth in love. You start telling people what the Word of God says and watch things change. So fear, we got to get over our fear and operate in faith. Martin Luther King, in your lesson, I put this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. It says, fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. There was no one there. I love that quote. Amen. So many times, folks, have you heard it? Fear knocking at your door? Answer it in faith. there'll be no one there. Because they don't want to face your Jesus, okay? Amen. That fearful demon don't want to face your Jesus. He's all right as long as it's just you whispering in your ear, but you call on your Jesus and he's fleeing. He's moving out of the way, especially when you're coming in his name. Oh my goodness. He will flee. So don't let fear rule you. The next point on your lesson says the word of God is a never changing truth. It is not going to change. That will stand. That will stand the test of time and trial. When you speak it to others, you can be assured of its validity. You don't have to worry about, well, I hope this applies here, but I'm just going to tell you that, you need to, love people. You know, I'm just going to say this, but I think that, you should just do it anyway. You should forgive them. I think that applies here, that you should forgive. It's the word of God. Forgive. Maybe I should give this, give and it shall be given unto you. It works. If the Lord told you to give it, then you give it. You don't have to be, what if I don't have enough? If God told you to give it, you give it. I'm telling you. He's told me to give someone, but Jesus, wait a minute. I just need that. I just wanted that.
Get my car.
I need it. I had a plan. I had a beautiful, well-written financial plan. And he's telling you to give. You can trust him. You can trust him. Because that, that's when that fear, and he already saw, he watched you write the plan. He watched you. Okay, you done? Now I want you to give. What? I wanted that $1,000. I was going to put it there. I want you to give it. Trust me. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, he tests you on purpose. It's not an accident. He tests you on purpose. He already knew the plan you had. He'll let you write it out. And then he'll tell you to give it. So we just want to know that the word of God is a never-changing truth. You don't have to waffle and be afraid of saying it, because it'll always be true. All other opinions and counsels may fail, but the word of God will be proven true every time.
Amen. Glory to God.
Every time. It is the best word you can give any man, woman, or child in trouble, is the word of God. Give them what the word says. You don't have to come up with all this great wisdom and stuff. Just give them what the word, this is what the word says. Sometimes I think my daughter gets tired of me quotes, and I don't mean to quote scripture. Sometimes I try to camouflage it, but she gets it. She's like, oh yeah, okay. But she comes back and says, Mom, you were right. Mom, you were right. How many times have y'all heard that? Dad, you were right. Mom, you were right. And they're learning that the word of God is true. You might be sick of hearing it, but you know what I'm going to tell you. Why do you keep coming back to me? You know what I'm going to tell you. Because they know that the word of God is true. It's been proven true, true, true. And that's why they get you. Hey, can I tell you something? Hey, can I talk to you about something? Hey, do you have a minute? Why? When they know what you're going to say, because the word of God is true. And they know that you are going to speak the truth in love. You're not going to tell them something false or something just to tickle their ears or something just to comfort them for the moment. Oh, honey, if it does good, just if it feels good, just do it. Let me tell you the truth. Now, the Bible says that's sin. That means God is not going to bless you as you do that. I'm just going to tell you that. So as long as you're there, God can't bless sin. He's merciful on you. That's why you're still alive and breathing his air and eating his food and walking on his planet, because he's merciful. But he can't bless that sin that you're in. And that's just the truth. He loves you, but he can't bless sin. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, see ya. They'll come back again and again and again, you know. But finally, and I've seen that happen, you know what? I've seen that happen. I've seen people say, we decided we're not going to live together anymore. We're gonna go ahead and we're going to get married. I'm like, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, because God can't, you know, you want the blessings of God on your life. You know, you want that on your life. You know, and he can't. He's holy. He can't do it. It's because he's holy. So stand in the word of God and watch people's lives change. People's lives will change as we stand in the word of God. So as we talk about overall, just looking at a summary of Michael's shoes, just being Michael, you know, deal with your feelings. Make a decision about losing relationships. Make a decision. You know, you got to be like Queen Esther. She said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to see the king. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And if I perish, if I perish. I'm like, if I die here, I die here. But I died believing I was being obedient to my Lord. And fear of standing in God's word. Stand in God's word. I'm telling you, this book, the Bible is timeless. As I told you guys before, God saw the entire course of human events in a timeline. And then he went back and pushed the start button. And he inspired that word of God to be with us through the entire timeline. And that's why it stands the test of time, because it's inspired by a timeless God. So now we talk about Tony's shoes. Okay, Tony is the one that is on the other side of this thing. Have you ever been in Tony's shoes? Did you have someone in your life that stepped up and confronted your sin? Wow. If so, how did you receive it? Uh-oh, you didn't like it. See, Virginia's being honest. Virginia said, I didn't like it. No, none of us like it because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. The truth will slap you all upside the head, and it doesn't feel good. And the first point in your lesson says, what keeps you from receiving sound biblical counsel from a family, from a friend or a family member? What keeps you? See, that's what, when we're talking about Tony's shoes, we got to find out what's going on in Tony's psyche. Why can't he receive? You know, why can't you receive? And I want you to be applying to yourself. Why can't I receive stuff? Okay, you knew what was going to be the first point on the lesson. You already knew this. Pride, and again I say pride. That is the first thing on the lesson. Without question, pride is our biggest obstacle to receiving the truth of the word of God. Without question, it is pride. Folks, I hope you're praying today, because today is Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. People are going to be coming in that never come to church. They come on Easter and they come on Christmas. You know, and they'll come in today, they'll hear the word of God, but it'll be this demon of pride that'll keep people from receiving Christ and submitting to the Lord. So be praying. Take authority over that. You know, we prayed in the sanctuary, but you guys be praying. Take authority over that demon in the name of Jesus that keeps people from bowing to the will of God. It is our biggest obstacle to receiving. That's how we fell in the garden, is with pride. From the preaching brought by our Savior to the truthful, innocent comments of a child, the pride of man is the beast we have to take down in order to receive. Let me read that again. From the preaching brought by our Savior to the truthful, innocent comments of a child, the pride of man is the beast we have to take down in order to receive. We can't receive from a child. We can't receive from the Savior until we take that beast down. The issue with some of us is that we are afraid that humility, the opposite of pride, will hurt us in some way. Because that's what the enemy is telling. Don't let them get away with that. That's what Satan is saying in your ear. Don't humble yourself. Because he's got you thinking that humility is going to hurt you in some way. This is a lie told by our enemy. Humility opens the door for the truth to set you free. But the enemy's going to tell you that humility is going to hurt you in some way. You're going to lose something if you humble yourself. And it is a lie. I'm here to tell you, it is a lie. Humility sets you free. Humility is not weakness. Let me say that again. Humility is not weakness. It takes strength to operate in humility. It takes more strength to operate in humility than it does to operate in pride. Pride is easy. It's automatic, man. It just comes out of us so quickly. It is automatic. But humility, that takes some strength. It takes strength to be humble. Pride is a natural response of the human being, but it takes power. Hallelujah. It takes power to operate in humility. It takes power to keep your mouth shut. It takes power to return good for evil. It takes power to sit down and be quiet. It takes power to trust in God and not always have to win the argument and tell everybody off and all of this stuff that we get into because of pride. Tony, as soon as he was confronted in the video, bah, you could see it. Demon of pride stands right up. Well, that's my business. You're my friend, but you don't need to be in my business. Now you're in my business. You know how we are. When somebody is speaking the truth to you. So we have to learn to embrace the cloak that our Savior embraced, humility. He was the Savior of the world, and he embraced humility. The scripture says, like a sheep before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He let them, he allowed them to beat him and to whip him and to humiliate him. How humiliating it was for him to be stripped down in front of everybody and beaten and whipped. You know, they talk about that cat of nine tails. It's a piece of leather with pieces of metal in it. And that's what they use as a whip. When they whip Jesus, that's what the Romans use. So that it can dig into the flesh. And then when you pull it back, it rips out chunks of flesh. That's what he went through, that humiliation. And all it would have taken is just an utterance from his lips. And the angels would have come. Hallelujah. Humility. And we can't even take a comment. A little comment is made about us. And God, don't talk about our mama. Then we really gonna get, see, now you're talking about my mama. And my children, yeah. Don't talk about my children, all right? But we've got to be like our Savior. And I'm telling you guys, this beast of pride, this is the one we got to deal with first. Humility, humility, humility. That's what he was all about, is humility. And we got to get a grasp on this if we are going to receive what he has for us. So pride, pride, pride. Second thing under Tony's shoes is emotions. Major emotions such as anger, resentment, and even self-pity can keep us from receiving the truth from others as we justify our behaviors through the filter of our feelings. We do. We justify how we act. We justify, but you don't know what they did to me, and you don't know what they said to me, and you don't know how they treated me. And I have to take you all the way back to the Savior. All the power he had in his hand, and yet he allowed it, he allowed it, he allowed it. Our feelings do not cancel the truth of the Word of God. Let me read that again. Our feelings do not cancel the truth of the Word of God. Injustices done to us do not cancel the truth of the Word of God. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Because we think I've got a right to say what I say. I got a right to be angry. I got a right to retaliate. I got a right to do this. But I'm telling you, you don't get a pass to sin because of the injustices done to you and your family. Hallelujah. I have to extend it to the family or your friends. You don't get a pass. God doesn't give you a pass. Okay, Virginia, you get a pass to sin because I see how badly they treated you. So go ahead. Go ahead and hit them back. And go ahead, Virginia. You can lie. You can do whatever you need to do, you know, because I see how badly they treated you. I'm sorry. You're not going to get a pass. When you stand before him, he's going to deal with that. And I'm telling you, folks, no excuse in the world. When we stand before him, we all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says everybody, Christians, believers and unbelievers alike, we all going to stand. And you're not going to get a pass for any of your sin that you did not cover under the blood of Jesus Christ. God commands you to trust in his justice and not our own. You've got to trust in his justice and not your own justice. Instead, God calls us to forgive. Oh, man, to forgive, to even love our enemies. Oh, my goodness. Now, that's just over the top. Love them? I can't forgive them, Lord, but you want me to love them too? What's up with that? Oh, but the Holy Spirit can make it possible, folks. Matthew 5.
Amen.
Matthew 5. 43 through 48 reads this. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, we got to trust in God's justice. Because but for the grace of God, there go I. And we used to be those type of people. And God had mercy on you. You want them dead in a minute because they did something to you. And you used to be that person. Oh, so you got to trust in God's justice, not your own. And yes, God calls us to love them, and you can love them in Christ. You can't love them in your humanness. I'll tell you right now, your humanness cannot love them. Your flesh will not love them. But I'm telling you, if you let Jesus grow in you, the love of Christ, you'll be loving people that you never thought you could love. You know, we like to stay in our little groups, you know what I'm talking about. America, hear me, America. You know how you all are. We stay with our own people, our own culture, our own color. Oh no, we don't cross over. Oh, but Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Father. I thank you for this church. I'm looking across this classroom right now. Thank you, Jesus. Because of Jesus, we come together. Oh, I tell you, they talk about blood is thicker than water, but I'm telling you, spirit is thicker than blood, honey. Yes. Hallelujah. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, honey, because they got my back. Honey, blood don't always have my back, but spirit got my back. So we got to get past ourselves. We got to get past our emotions and learn to receive. Sometimes we don't receive. You need to receive from everybody that God is sending your way. God sends people in your life and you're not receiving because your emotions are all in the way. You better stop that. You're missing your blessing. Your lesson says each of us will be judged by God based on our obedience to his word and not by how we felt at the time. Do you understand that? God is going to judge you by your obedience, not by your feelings. And sometimes obedience does not depend on feelings. You can be obedient and feel all kind of things, but being obedient is what God is looking for. He'll deal with your feelings eventually, but he's looking at your obedience because obedience operates in faith, that you do it. Jesus knows you have feelings. He felt all that you feel, but was without sin. He knows that through him, you can also overcome your feelings and do what is right before God. He knows. In him, you can overcome. Remember we talk about Revelation 3 and, you know, Revelation 2 and 3, he kept saying, he who overcomes, he overcomes, he overcomes, because he said, you can do it. So none of this, I can't, you know, and sometimes we get into self-pity. That's another one. That's a tricky demon. Self-pity, that's a tricky one because, oh, everybody, oh, yeah, I'm justified because what happened to me is so terrible. And so, you know what they did to me? And then it happened in 2016, it happened again in 2017, you know, and it might happen again this week, so I'm not going to even do anything. Speak the truth in love. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're the glory and the one who lifts my head. Don't let Satan talk you into feeling sorry for yourself. Get up. Get up. Boy, I just was watching. Boy, I was watching. I just had a flash of just watching the Bible. And they were watching the crucifixion, and boy, how Jesus, you know, fell with the cross and he got up. Fell with the cross and he got up. Fell with the cross and he got up. He had to finish. He had to finish. He knew he could finish. You know, it's like sometimes Jesus knows you can finish. That's why he called you to do it, because he knows you can finish it. He knows you can overcome. That's why he asked you to do it. So none of this, I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. He knows you can overcome, folks. So you're not going to be able to hide behind your feelings on that great day. And how you felt and how angry you were and what had happened to you before, and that's why I did what I did. Oh, that won't stand. I'm telling you now, okay? Take note of what I'm saying today, because I'm telling you right now, it's not going to stand up before the Lord. On that great day, no sin will be justified in his sight. No sin that you didn't cover under the blood will be justified in his sight. We may have our arguments to justify sin on earth, but on that day, when you're a judge, I believe we're going to realize how weak our arguments are before a holy God. We're going to see how weak our arguments are before a holy God. So I'm telling you, do it by faith. Even if you don't, I don't know, I'm going to do it by faith. Your feelings will follow, but do it by faith. Lord, I'm putting this under the blood. Lord, I'm going to forgive. Lord, I'm going to let this go. Lord, I'm going to let down my pride and let somebody speak something into my life. I'm not going to be making excuses why I won't live for God, why I won't do it God's way. Stop that. It won't stand up. We have all kind of excuses, all kind of reasons. You know, but be careful, because his blood has done everything for you. And it's right here. It's available to you. But if you just let it sit so you can operate in your emotions, beware on that great day. It won't stand up. And finally, in Tony's arena, the influences of others and demons. We kind of hit on it a little bit. And you have to find out who influences you. Who influences you? That's a question you have to ask yourself, because we're all influenced by things, by people, even demons, spirits. I mean, who influences you? What makes you react? You know, you need to stand back and assess yourself and see who pushes your buttons. That's the person that influences you. Well-meaning family and friends will have opinions based on their history with you and their emotions for you. But you are still called by Christ to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Family, family, family. Oh, God. Oh, man. They can take you on a roller coaster ride. Yeah. But you're still called to submit those family members to Christ and overcome. You may not be understood or even rejected, but as the scripture teaches us, let God be true and every man a liar. That's Romans 3:4. And I've had to say that in my mind, let God be true and every man a liar. I can't do it your way, I'm sorry. You know, if I messed up, if it didn't work, it was because I messed up. Because God is true. God is always true. In your lesson, it says, demons are always circling and whispering into your ears, waiting for the opportunity to lead you away from obedience to Christ. We are surrounded by the hordes of hell. The scriptures call Satan the prince of the air. All around us, whispering in our ear. Some of those thoughts that you have, those are not your thoughts. Those are thoughts of demons that are whispering, telling you to do this or that, the other thing. Christians cannot be possessed by demons, but they can be influenced by their subtle whisperings to demand what your flesh wants. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, demons cannot possess you because they ain't gonna live anywhere where Jesus is. But they can be on the outside. Whispering, why don't you do this? Oh, just do it just this one time. Nobody will ever know. Oh, I mean, nobody's watching. Why don't you do it now? Oh, just take that. It won't matter. All the influences of demons, and you have to be aware, and I want you to be very aware of demons. We don't like to talk about that. You know, just as surely as there is a God, there's a Satan, and he has the hordes of hell. And you need to be aware when you're dealing with things that there could be demonic influence. And that's why we're doing this class, so you'll learn how to take authority over Satan and his demons when you walk into a place, when you have to do something. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who's walking in with me. And I take authority in the name of Jesus because God, Jesus told you, you need to take authority. He gives us the authority to take how to take over. Jesus had to rebuke Peter, one of his own disciples, who sought to influence him against the will of God. Christ referred to Peter as Satan after he tried to influence him not to return to Jerusalem, where he would die for the sins of the world. He had to take authority over that spirit that was speaking through Peter. Not that Peter was necessarily possessed, but Peter was speaking something that came from the enemy. Jesus needed to go to Jerusalem. And here comes this person. You ever been like that? You know, God has told you to do something. God has told you. And here comes somebody. Hey, why don't you think about this? Why don't you? And you gotta say, get thee behind me, Satan. I take authority over this. I have to go to Jerusalem. It may be hard and it may be difficult because I'm telling you, God will tell you to do things that are going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean God didn't tell you to do it. If you know God told you to do it, then you do it. You must be able to respond like Christ. I must go to Jerusalem. You must overcome allowing demons and people to justify the sin of disobedience in your life. Because I'm telling you, demons and people will talk you out of your destiny. I'm so glad I didn't listen to a lot of people that wanted me, oh, stay safe. Stay small. Stay secure. Oh, you can't see down that far, so let's not do it. And God is saying, you know it. You know when God is saying, get up, daughter. Come on. But God, this is, come on, daughter. And God will confirm it. He always confirms. And you know when God is confirmed and he is, I mean, he sends songs your way. He sends people. He just said, well, confirm it. Do it. He'll be there every step of the way. Girl, I'm a witness. He'll be there through every single hurdle. He'll be there for you. Don't let people and demons talk you out of your destiny in God. Because they will talk you out because they want you to remain small all. And little, insignificant, ineffective, lukewarm, mediocre. That's the way that the enemy wants you to say. You can be saved, but don't be trying to grow and have, you know, trying to win others and have some big ministry of, you know, whatever it might be. It could be a ministry of a restaurant. It could be a ministry of, you know, whatever. Don't be trying to grow. Don't let it happen, folks. You know, being great is the norm for children of God. It's the norm for us as we grow up in Him. To prevail and win the spiritual wars we face every day, we must overcome in Christ and obey God above all else.
Amen.
And that's something you have to grow up in, you know, because we, you know, God knows where we're coming from. As I said, He saw us in infancy. He saw us on the day we were born, even before we got here. He saw us crying, selfish, being influenced by people. You know, you see children, they're influenced by everybody. They're easily talked into anything. A child, you can talk a child into anything. Easily influenced. But as we grow in our Lord and our Savior, we learn to hear the still small voice. And we learn to be obedient. As we get older, we learn who to listen to and who not to listen to, don't we? You know, as you're older now, you don't listen to everybody. Because you've been through some things. And God is the same way. You know, our growth, our walk with God is the same way. So again, as we review Tony's shoes, you know, what's keeping you from receiving like a Tony? Pride, our emotions, and the influence of other people and demons. So again, anybody have any comments?
It's kind of like something John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And this is a question we need to ask ourselves. Do you believe this? And if you do, does your life reflect it?
Because people should see that. People should see who you are. People should see it. It shouldn't be something that is just, you know, vague.
Okay. I had a spiritual dream. I guess in my mind, in my heart, my health was failing and I was kind of giving up. And in this dream, I saw my Lord, and He was next to a wall. And He told me He needed my help. And I thought, wow. He said, we need to get this wall finished. So He told me, help me get this over there. And it was big, like I'd say like the size of a dining room table. I can't do it. I told Him, He said, yes, you can. And I said, no, I can't do it. And He says, yes, you can. And the third time I said, I can't. It's too heavy. He says, yes, you can. With the both of us, we lifted it up and we put it on top of the wall. Then He says, no, let's do this one. It was the size of a car. And I said, well, I can't do this. He says, yes, you can. And I said, I can't do this. And He says, yes, you can. And I says, no, it's too big. He says, come on, yes, you can. And between the two of us, we picked it up and we put it in another part and we were finishing the wall. Then He came to another big rock, about the size of a semi. And He says, now we need to put this one over here. And I said, oh Lord, I can't. He says, yes, you can. And I says, Lord, I can't. He says, yes, you can. I say, I can't, it's too heavy. He says, yes, you can. So we ran and between the two of us, we got it and we put it up and we finished the wall. Then I said, okay, Lord, we're done. He says, no, we're not. And I could see down, and it was like about like three blocks, and there was a bunch of wrought iron poles, like the poles, light poles on the street. And he says, now what you need to do is you need to wrap this material around the lamps on top so when they're on, the purple can show. I said, okay. So I did one, then I asked him, I says, is this what you want, my Lord? And he said, yes. And I said, how many do I have to do? And he said, all of them. And there was like three blocks full of these, and I got them done. And he says, okay, now we're ready for them to come. Who they are, I don't know. But he was there to help me. So he is my rock. And anything he wants me to do, I can do it. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that. That is, and that's the way it is, absolutely. You know, that we can do it with Christ. You know, and we're reluctant. You know, we don't think we can. But with him, all things are possible with Christ. Did I see another hand? Did I see somebody else have their hand up? Okay. All right, so with Christ, all things are possible, folks. And let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, that you are showing us ourselves, Lord God. We're showing us how to be confrontative, oh Lord, when we need to be. Lord, we are learning how to speak the truth in love. So Lord, I pray that you would just bless this word, Lord. Let us digest it and take it in, Lord God. Again, we pray that it's not something that just runs off our back. Lord, we need to digest this one, Lord God, so that we can be there for our brothers and sisters, Lord God, as receivers and as givers, Lord God. Father, we want to learn what it is to be truly accountable, Lord God, before you, Lord God. Because see, that's where it is, Lord. The accountability first begins before you, oh Lord, and then we are accountable to each other within your influence, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, and I pray that you would work it in us. I pray that we would ask ourselves these hard, difficult questions that we went over today, Lord God, and that we would address them before you in our war room, Lord God, so that you would do a work so that we can be overcomers. Oh God, we don't want to be weak, Lord God. We don't want to be mediocre, Lord God. We want to be those that walk onto victory. Oh Lord, we want to be those that overcome. Oh Lord, so I pray this over this class, Lord God, and I pray this over your people. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.